Good morning and welcome to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yirmiyahu Perek Choftes, the 29th chapter of Sefer Yirmiyahu. This prophecy happens in the final years of Yirmiyahu. It is sent from Yirmiyahu as a letter to the Bnei HaGola, the people in the diaspora already. It is essentially the letter Yirmiyahu sends to those who are exiled in stage one of the exile. These are the people exiled at the end of Jehoiakim's reign under his son Yechoniah, and the 10,000 people who are exiled from Yerushalayim, the artisans, the wise people who are exiled. So he's sending a letter from Yerushalayim under the reign of Tzidkiyahu to these individuals. This is one of the most transformational nevuahs that it affects us to this very day if we're to appreciate this properly. So let's start at your start. Quick summary of what's going on. So the Perek starts off by describing that this is the book, or this is the letter that he sends to the Bnei HaGola. And the letter essentially extends from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Tes Vav. So it's really taking up half of the sum of this Perek. And in this letter, he says the most unintuitive thing you would think. He says to these people, he tells us he sent it through El Asa ben Shafan and Gemariah ben Chilkiah, and they sent it to the people of Babel. But what does he say? He says to them, "Benu batim v'shevu, build houses and stay in them. V'nitu ganos v'ichlu es piryon, plant gardens and eat from them. Kachu nashim v'alidu banim v'banos, marry, have children. Ukachu livnechem nashim v'es benosechem tenula nashim, and marry your children off. V'teladna banim v'banos, and they should have children. Urvu sham, and you should increase there. V'al timatu, you should not decrease. V'dirshu ishlam ha'ir." Asher iglesi eschem shama. Search out the peace of the city that you are in, v'ispalalu ba'ada el Hashem, and pray on behalf of that city, ki b'shlama, because in its peace, yihye lachem shalom. In its peace, you will have peace. Unbelievable prophecy. And then he goes on to say that in 70 years' time, that's when Babel will be finished, and I'm going to return you over here. I know the thoughts that I've been thinking about you all the time. It may seem like it's bad, it may seem like you're in exile, but my thoughts are for peace, my thoughts are not for evil. To give you in the end hope. For those who are familiar with the Avram Fried song, which is very powerful, this is where the words come from. In Machshavot L'Shalom is this very pasuk. And he explains that I'm going to send my prophets to Babel. They're going to accompany you out of Golus. What a remarkable letter. So let's analyze, before we get to the second half of this parak, let's just analyze this letter quickly on a few different levels. First of all, what is Yirmiyahu not saying in this letter? And this is something which perhaps we fail to appreciate because we just read the Tanakh and we expect everything there to be what should be said. But imagine the following. Yirmiyahu has been prophesizing for well over two decades to people, warning them that their tshuva during the times of Yoshio was incomplete, and telling them during the times of Jehoiakim not to make alliances, to stop their abusing the poor and the lower classes of society to embetter the lives of the rich. And he's been telling them that if you don't do this, there's going to be terrible things coming from the north. And no one listened. And Jehoiakim was deposed of, and Yechoniah was taken to Babel with his mother, and everybody, all the great people of Yerushalayim, were taken with them. You know what he should have said in his letter? He should have said, "I told you so. I told you the whole time. I've been saying it. I was on my soapbox. You try to do all these terrible things to me. I was telling you." That's what Yirmiyahu should have said. Yirmiyahu doesn't say that. And this is just to appreciate the gadlus, the strength of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu so deeply cares about these people. There's no time for gloating. He tried to warn them they wouldn't get there. Now that they're there, he's trying to guide them, just to appreciate what it means to be a real leader. Now, why is he telling them to settle down in Golus? Isn't that exactly the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing? So the Chida, in his Pirush on Tanakh called the Chumash Tanakh, explains that, generally speaking, he quotes from the Rabbi Meir Arama, must be related to the Kenes Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Arama, and he says a very interesting thing. We know that there is a general emotional and halachic reality that when a person is sharui b'tzar, when a person is in a place of constriction and pain, then a person is not willing to have children, to invest, to expand, and to think more globally. And what Yirmiyahu was saying is, you may be in Golos, but understand that Golos is short-lived. You need to have children. You need to continue to expand. You need to invest. That seems to be the most basic premise that is being said over here. Now, the interesting thing is that in this actual letter, he is now actually, as Rav Jonathan Sacks argues, he is actually choreographing one of the mission statements of the diaspora Jew. Never before has there been a diaspora Jew, essentially. There have been a few parties here and there that have been taken, and the prophets have spoken to them. But now, slowly but surely, the entire nation of Israel is moving from an Israel-centric nation to a diaspora-centric nation. This is when it's happening. And Yirmiyahu is telling us how to deal with that. Rav Jonathan Sacks, in his book called To Heal a Fractured World, really a book which I knew must have existed long before I knew it, I actually found it. It's a book which is a worthwhile read for any thinking or sensitive human being. And it talks about Judaism's relationship to the world as a whole. In the chapter which is called The Kindness of Strangers, he deals with the halacha, what's called Darchei Shalom, the way that Jews deal with non-Jews and the ways of peace. And he said, where did the Chachamim and the Gemara derive the notion of what the halachas of Darchei Shalom? And he argues from this very section in Yirmiyahu. To quote a paragraph from the book, where does the idea come from? The rabbis derived it from the verse in the Proverbs. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and its paths are peace. That is the textual warrant. Historically, however, it was born in the Jewish experience of exile. It emerged because Jews, having in the biblical era lived in their own land, were now dispersed minorities in pagan cultures. Definitive in this context was the letter written 2,600 years ago by the prophet Jeremiah to the exiles in Babylon and Egypt. Build houses and settle down, plant vineyards and gardens and eat their fruit, take wives and have children, seek the peace of the city to which you have been exiled, pray to God on its behalf, for in its peace you will find peace. This was a wise and far-sighted policy and that shaped Jewish behavior from then to the present. Jews were to maintain their identity as Jews, but at the same time contribute to the societies to which they belonged, if belonging is not too generous a word to describe the marginal and disenfranchised existence to which Jews were often condemned. What he is essentially saying is that this is now, Yirmiyahu saying, that the way you're going to succeed is by contributing to those societies, not being immersed in those societies. That's not what Yirmiyahu was saying. But contributing to those societies, and that's how your identity is going to be in Golos until HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings you back. Just a way of thinking about this. In fact, the Chidah goes one step further, and he says that's in fact spiritually true as well, that when we pray and when we strengthen the country that we are in, whichever of those countries in diaspora it is, when the celestial minister, meaning when the spiritual malach who's in charge of that nation, is strengthened, that strength will pour back into the strength of Eretz Yisrael as well, which is a very powerful idea. They're not just political advocacy over here. This is talking about the spiritual flow of things, which is also another dimension to this. Of course, this is the makor, the source of the halacha, which the Mishnah in Perkei Avos tells us that Rabbi Chanina, the Skana Kohanim, would say, that we should pray for the welfare of the government, because if not, people would swallow each other alive. And it is interesting that is, of course, the halacha, which we have extant from Siddurim for well over 800 years, where we pray for the government in whichever country it is. And we've seen this in all the most interesting countries, which have not been too friendly for the Jews, but nonetheless, we still pray for its peace, as based on Yirmiyahu's instruction manual, still to this very day, to every Shabbos that we live. Last section of the Perek is really a completely different note. Yirmiyahu now reminds the people who are still in the land of Israel that you think you're fine, ooh, you're in for it, you're going to be killed. So meaning to say, the people who ironically are in exile are the luckier ones because they're going to come back. The ones who are still here stand less of a chance that they continue their actions. Then he talks about the message to the false prophets. He isolates a few people, their names are Achav ben Kolya and Tzidkiyahu ben Maaseya. These are people who are false prophets. And Yirmiyahu says to them that they're going to be so destroyed and killed by Nebuchadnezzar, people are going to use them as, idioms. They're going to say, oof, Hashem, let you be cursed like Tzidkiyahu and Echav. which means to say they're going to be really, really bad. Why? So it says because that they did a terrible thing, that they actually had incest with the wives of their friends, and they spoke falsely, which was interesting, because you think that their primary sin is their false prophecy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is letting the cat out of the bag, that also they are actually corrupt human beings, that have no moral code, and that is an indicator of really their corruption as well. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Gimel and Aleph, goes so far as to say that they actually use their prophecy, they use their platform of power and religious power to try to seduce the daughter of Nebuchadnezzar herself. Tzidkiyahu, the prophet, not Tzidkiyahu the king, Tzidkiyahu the prophet said that she needed to have a relationship with Achav and vice versa, and Nebuchadnezzar caught them out, spoke to Hanan, Mishael, and Azariah, and ultimately threw these fellows into the furnace of fire, and they got killed because they were literally playing with fire. One has to try to understand what that means. The daughter of Nebuchadnezzar, what part of his culture? It might not be his physical daughter, it might be metaphysically or metaphorically what they were trying to adopt in the culture, what they were adulterating ultimately in Babylonian culture, that they were killed for ultimately, if one thinks in larger terms than simply the terms described. Finally, Yirmiyahu turns to a person called Shmayahu Hanechelami, who was a person who actually lived in the diaspora. When he received the letter of Yirmiyahu, sent back a letter to the Kohen Gadol and said, wow, you should get rid of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu is a terrible person, he's a meshuga. Right, ish meshuga umisnabe. He's crazy. He's telling us to build houses and make gardens and so on. So what? Get rid of him. So Yirmiyahu also responds and says, you know what? Just send a letter back and remind them that his entire family is going to be wiped out. He's not going to have anybody who's going to remain, and he's not going to see the good that I'm going to do to the people of the diaspora to bring them back. Because he is testifying falsely. Just an interesting point to think about Shmayahu's words is it sounds very frum. You know, he's got a very frum point. After all, isn't Yirmiyahu stirring the pot and telling them to settle down in Golas? Wouldn't it be more religiously fervent to say that we're all going to be returning and they're just very, very soon, and don't just hold off and don't enculturate into Babylon. So it sounds like a very frumta taina claim, but ultimately what Yirmiyahu is saying is, I am giving you prophecy and I'm telling you what the Hashem's agenda is, and that's something you need to listen to very carefully. It may seem unintuitive, but it's ultimately something which carried us through 2600 years of Golus. B'mehar Yomenu, we should be able to see the end of it. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.